You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Today, we're heading north to Finland for a wrap of this year's Slush Conference. Billed as the world's leading startup event, Slush is well attended by founders and C-suite executives from a long list of top companies and is swarming with investors, too. While a lot is focused on the world of tech, much of the discussion leads into Monocle's areas of interest, from design to retail, hospitality, and city building. The event is also a great showcase for the vibrant business scene in the Nordics and Helsinki as an incredible startup incubator. Monocle's Helsinki correspondent Petri Bertsoff has been at the conference for us this week.
Now in its 13th edition, Helsinki Slush had matured to the point when it was time to do some soul searching. When it was last organized in 2019, the event drew a record crowd of 25,000 people and felt almost more like a trade fair and a massive laser disco than a volunteer-led event designed to help early-stage startups get advice, funding, and inspiration. This year, the organizers decided to take a step back and return Slush to its roots. Ticket numbers were limited to just short of 9,000, with most of those going to entrepreneurs and investors, and less to representatives of large corporations and hangarounds looking for a cool party. Those corporate operators that were allowed in were selected based on how they would benefit the startups and entrepreneurs present. The organizers wanted this year's Slush to ignite what they called a new era of entrepreneurial renaissance. The idea was incredibly simple. Bring together investors with deep pockets and early-stage companies and founders with great ideas. All the A-list venture capitalists were there, from the likes of Andreessen Horowitz, Accel, Bessemer and Sequoia. In total, the 1,700 investors present represented over 300 billion euros in assets under management, which the organizers called the world's largest gathering of venture capital. I met up with one of them, Timo Ahopelto, from Lifeline Investors, and asked him why it was important to be at Slush.
Well, I think it's serendipity. So Slush, you know, Finland is a very non-hierarchical country, right? Slush is a very non-hierarchical event. So if you are a VIP keynote speaker, you kind of get the same treatment like everybody, right? Which means that everybody can bump onto you on the corridors and have a chat and discussion, etc. And for me as an investor, I'm just meeting great companies, great entrepreneurs, great future co-investors who I wouldn't meet otherwise. And this sort of like just bumping into people is the best that has happened in Slush, actually from the very beginning.
What would you say are the different sectors to keep an eye on? I know internationally Finland is known for its gaming companies. Those are still some of our biggest companies. And listeners, of course, going back in time, of course, know Finland for Nokia. But I mean, we're at Slush 2021 now. Which sectors would you say are super interesting to look at now?
Yeah, I think Finland has kind of a tech advantage in, obviously, in electronics and everything that is, you know, from the Nokia ashes, right? But I think it's this kind of a deep tech, climate tech. In addition to electronics, Finland is really known for forest, you know, pulp and paper, right? Metals and this type of basic materials. And it's all process industry. And if you want to remove carbon out of atmosphere, you need to build processes. If you want to replace plastic, you need to have biomaterials, right? And that is something where Finland has poured tons of money over the past 30 years, you know, to invent new materials, more effective processes. There's armies of engineers in this country who have been very good and world's best in optimizing these sort of things. So I think, you know, the next wave of Finnish companies will be on that sector, on top of the games companies that we already have.
Hopel mentioned the term deep tech there. It means tech companies that use technology to solve some of mankind's major problems, such as aging and climate change, and technology that is based on engineering and scientific innovations. The deep tech companies had taken over this year's Slush like never before. They range from startups such as Veri, that connects a continuous glucose monitor patch you attach to your arm, with a mobile application that helps users improve their diet, exercise, and sleeping habits, to Carbo Culture, a climate tech company that develops CO2-removing factories that stabilized CO2 into biocarbon for 1,000 years. There were several startups focused on upcycling, urban farming, mindfulness, and food tech too. One key theme this year was the future of mobility. There was a company developing long-range solar-powered vehicles and another focused on all-electric aircraft. One interesting mobility startup at Slush was a company called Sensible 4, a Finnish self-driving software company focusing on last-mile autonomous transportations and self-driving in all-weather environments. I met up with the company's founder and CEO, Harri Santamala, who began by explaining why most autonomous mobility companies were not successful and what needed to be done about it.
When we launched the company in the middle of the autonomous driving hype, literally in the middle, we saw that the technology was capable of doing great many things and cool demos, but when you have a slight amount of snow, heavy tropical rain or fog, nothing was working. And this was really like the auto industry de facto. And my fellow founders who had been researching outdoor robotics in Finland already since mid-80s, so 35 years, they were like really wondering that, seriously guys, can you build a scalable product if 90% of the global population lives in areas where seasonally you have heavy tropical rain or fog? How can you really scale the business? And that's sort of the part of overall challenge we wanted to sort of bring solutions to the market.
And well, how is it going so far?
It's going great. So I bet we must be the only autonomous driving company ever being profitable. Not to mention 3 years. So we actually, instead of going to investors and saying that give us money, we actually went to the customers and shown them that, hey, here's the solution. How about we start working together? And this was when we were like 4 guys with exceptional background IP, and we started to grow by bootstrapping. Of course, at a certain point, we came to conclusion that now it actually makes sense to get funding, as we need to grow and become real automotive grade company one day.
And I suppose Slush is a kind of event that really helps with that.
Yeah, I think it's in the essence of it. The name of the event describes the weather which we are solving for the automotive industry.
Next, it was time to hop into Harri's car, which came to pick us up, with no one in the driver's seat.
So we're going to go for a test drive here. Okay. Door is opening.
I think I go left, you go here, so you can see what's happening behind the scenes.
Okay. And just to set the scene, it's a really good test.
And please, hey, buckle up.
Yes, let's buckle up.
It's here.
It's about -5 maybe in Helsinki, so you know it's a good test for all weather. There's a little bit of snow on the ground, and you know if it works here, it will work anywhere. Just a sec.
Okay, we are now buckled.
We are buckled up.
Yeah, and I mean safety is the paramount for the whole industry, and even with the short demo like this, we have to be cautious that if there's some pedestrian or something coming quickly, the vehicle may break suddenly, and even if that's not dangerous, we don't want you to hit your head. So safety always first, and I think that's the biggest challenge in the whole industry, that it's not enough to do a cool demo, but make it into automotive grade product. That's a completely different challenge.
And we have now started moving. The car is driving itself. This is quite remarkable, and you know, we started off like you would in a if I were driving, you know, it wasn't a slow start, a normal start going around corners. And okay, and as we're doing the interview, we did a U-turn. There was oncoming traffic. The car stopped and waited for the car to pass. We did some sharp turns as well, and it's going very smoothly. So Harri, maybe I'll ask you, I mean, if we look into the future of autonomous mobility, I mean, how do you see, what's it going to be like in, let's say, 5 years' time?
I think in 5 years we're actually going to have a commercial use cases of the autonomous driving technology. I wouldn't bet my money on having a fully autonomous private vehicle just yet or anytime soon, if ever. But actually, we can make a lot of business cases on use cases like last mile transportation or logistic, where you're driving basically same A to B every day for 10 years, or with the bus line. So all kind of commercial vehicles are the ones where you have a business case and that sort of technology readiness is already there. It's a question of finalizing and validating the products before launching them.
All right, so, and it looks like we have come to the end of our drive. Everything went smoothly and we are still alive.
Yeah.
All right, let's make space for it. Let's hope there's a wealthy investor coming in next. Kiitos. Right, going back inside. All right, so we're back in the tent after the rather pleasant driving experience. Harri, I mean, we're at Slush, and you're talking to a lot of investors. What are they asking you? What are their like top three questions that they when you speak with them?
I think the main question is that do you have a commercial traction and how does it look like, and that's really like the most important thing. That there has been so much of this hyping, and it's time to sort of get real. Start making business out of it. Maybe we're not taking the full Southern Finland in the launch time, and that's not the purpose, but we the most important question is that show that you can make a business and there's a real automotive manufacturer demand. So second question is that, okay, there's a demand. Can you guys pull it off? Do you have what it takes? And the third one is the technology. Is it really unique and does it really do what it's supposed to do? If we can answer those three questions about customer, team, and the technology as a deep tech company, then we sort of have the sort of answer they are looking for.
I'm curious how you think about that with insurance or how that comes into your go-to-market.
Back inside, it was an action-packed 2 days full of interesting talks by founders and senior executives from companies such as Tinder, Calm, Spotify, Tencent, Spring Health, and DoorDash. There were product launches, demos and pitching competitions, mentoring programs, and much more. All with the goal of helping the over 3,000 startups present hone their pitches, find new investors, and expand into new markets. Over the years, startups that participated in Slush have managed to secure financing worth over €1 billion. The joy of meeting people face to face again was also palpable. Parties and side events lasted until the wee hours of the night, and powered by strong espressos, the participants got going again the next morning. One of the advantages of Slush is that it is a truly international festival, with participants from well over 100 countries. This has helped Finnish startups to think bigger and go global. Wolt, a Finnish food delivery company that was spawned by Slush, operates in 23 countries and was recently acquired by the American DoorDash in a €7 billion deal, one of the largest in Finnish corporate history. One interesting local startup that has decided to launch directly into the US market is a company called ThingTesting.
ThingTesting is a brand discovery and a review platform. So we built a directory of the most interesting and new modern brands, specifically direct-to-consumer brands selling things online, and have a community of reviewers sort of crowd-reviewing the products on the site. So you can almost look at it as a consumer report, a crowdsourced consumer reports for a millennial generation. One challenge in particular is to get more of an understanding out there in the world of the particular problem with online reviews today. So the fact that they aren't on a third-party destination and that there are some existing sort of issues with them being first-party on many sites, so being cherry-picked and curated in some way. So I'd say consumer education, if you will, and education around online shopping, which essentially is such a new phenomenon, and many people have sort of jumped on that train specifically during the pandemic. So awareness around like how to shop, and especially sort of understanding in the importance of vetting something before buying it, because we all know that we shouldn't, in the current state of the world, really be buying things that someone else probably already knows doesn't work.
That was founder Jenny Ylander from ThingTesting. She continued by explaining the kind of impact her company has had so far.
I'm very proud. I think particularly we have over 2,000 brands on the site listed, and over half of them have been claimed by the founders, essentially meaning that they've come in and added extra information. So we're seeing high engagement from the brands. They also want to have a transparent channels with their customers and are looking for feedback. It's equally hard for them to actually collect reviews. So being that center of dialogue is definitely something I think is important, not only for consumer awareness of the product, but also for the brands to get feedback and improve if there's anything that they should be focusing on. This has taken, I started essentially working full-time somewhere in the late 2019, moved to the US. We raised a seed round from Forerunner Ventures early this year, and so now we're a team of 10 actually, which is exciting.
Congratulations. And how are you planning to grow?
Honestly, I would say that we're really on chapter one still. There's so much left to do. We're doing one of the hardest things out there, which is really asking people to change their shopping behavior, come somewhere and actually vet their products pre-purchase. It's a hard ask. A lot of people are, and companies are, attempting to get us to purchase even quicker with just one-click buttons and so on. So I think that is a challenge for sure. Thankfully, I think the awareness around consumption at large is definitely not a fight that we're doing alone, and so I'm hoping that we can be supportive in that journey going forward, because I don't really foresee a future where we would consume less online, at least.
For Monocle in Helsinki, I'm Petri Burtsov.
That's Monocle's Helsinki correspondent Petri Burtsov for us at the Slush Conference in the Finnish capital. You can find out more about the conference over at slush.org. This show was mixed and edited by Christy Evans. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.